You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Michael K. is on the radio today. What he's thinking.
It's the Michael K. Show.
Michael K. is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a Monday. It's April 1st. It's 2024. Michael, Don, Peter with you. Hope you all had a great weekend. Nobody had as good a weekend as the Yankees.
Nobody.
That's a pretty good weekend, Don. Pretty good weekend.
There was a few. I mean, the Rangers had, I thought, had a good weekend. But I'll tell you what. Rangers, Yankees, great weekend. Knicks, Mets, not so much.
Well, there's levels to bad weekends, too, though. I mean, you know, the Knicks lost a couple hard games. Oh, you know what I mean?
Although, listen, of all the teams, there's one team that stands alone that not only got beat physically, but got mentally beaten and smacked around and treated like trash and garbage. Flawed. And loved it and enjoyed it and said, give me more. I want more. Thank you, sir. May I have another? That's the Mets. That's the phrase. It's not baseball hits different here. You'll see that on SNY. They will promote that as that's the phrase of 2024. Baseball hits different here. The phrase actually is, I'm telling you, it's thank you, sir. May I have another?
Now, you're not giving up on the season.
No,
on one
I'm not giving
weekend.
Up. It's Michael, they can't beat the Brewers on a bet. So if this had happened in the middle of August, nobody would blink. So it's the first three games of the season. That doesn't bother me. The Yankees aren't going 162-0, and the Mets aren't going 162. All right? This is a battle of first-place teams tonight between the Yankees and the Diamondbacks. I'll bet my life that's not the World Series matchup. Very early in the season, okay? But what has been a recurring theme going back to the 100-win season is, thank you, sir, may I have another. Getting thrown at, treated like garbage, and always being on the losing end of the altercation. Hoskins owns the Mets. He's in their back pocket. He actually sits sideways. He's got a Costanza wallet in his back pocket, and it's the New York Mets because McNeil didn't punch him in the forehead at second base like he should have, like I told you he should have on Friday. Instead, it's Ramirez late in the game after he already beat you over the head with his baseball bat on Saturday. Instead of it being Severino with no warnings issued, Peter, before the game, plunk him at the beginning of the game, McNeil punch him. Instead, you get swept. Hoskins owns you.
No, it's not what you want.
So that's
one thing.
Bothers
one thing,
me.
Though, there were no warnings issued when Ramirez threw at him either. So if they had the right, even if he throws at somebody without a warning, to throw him out. I guess the Mets didn't want to lose Severino at the beginning. So not only did they lose Ramirez, but then their manager gets suspended for the next game. And then today we hear more bad news. McGill had to leave the game after four innings. His shoulder was barking. He's on the IL. So now they're down two starters.
But, and again, this wouldn't even bother me that much if it was an isolated incident. All the times they get plunked and nothing done about it. And you heard what Hoskins said, that they whiny and cry. That's the reputation the Mets have. Do you want that reputation? You know, so why isn't things changing there? So if McNeil was so upset that he had to rage on top of the prone body of Hoskins, then punch him or don't say anything.
Right, you're standing there.
Right.
And he's right there. If you're really upset at him, and I'm not advocating fighting, Don is, but I can see what he's saying, then you just jump him.
Or don't say a word.
Make it Pete Rose, Bud Harrelson. Do it.
And then Hoskins is garbage because he then decides to go shout
right,
back.
He gets tough when there's people in front of him.
When there's people in front of him and he's in the dugout. All I know is that, Michael, if somebody's standing over me yelling at me, I'm going to get up and go, what's going on? You got a problem? But at the end of the day, He wins. His team wins. He did great. So that's what bothers me, is that, you know, stand up for yourself. That's all. And it's been going on for years.
So it's the New York Mets 2024. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
That's right.
Wow. I don't know if that's going to sell.
Well, you know what? It's the most accurate. Well, and listen, Peter's the one that knows what's cool. Baseball hits different here. I don't know. Is that cool, Peter?
All the companies kind of jumped to hits different, I'd say, like a year or two ago.
Right. It does feel like it's... It would have probably been better in 2022.
Yeah. It's just... And by the way, it was his... Hits different was about as fast a co-opting of a cool word or phrase as I've ever seen, but somehow SNY is still well behind it. I'm not exactly sure how.
Well, it's the Mets. It's not even SNY, but everybody's using it. It's their promo. The Mets are, I guess all teams are known for this, right, Michael? That they'll have some kind of catchphrase for the season. Like, when the Mets had the You Gotta Believe with the Tug McGraw, and they always have something that kind of, and that's this year's 2024, is literally, it's baseball hits different here, but the way I feel,
they didn't hit at all.
Let me get
your take on another thing before we get into the positive news of Juan Soto. Oh. Mets lose the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
That night, Pete Alonso dancing on stage with Luke Bryan. Any problem with that at all?
Zero. Zero problem. I'm shocked that people have a problem with this. He's a human being.
Exactly.
He can't go out and have a problem.
I'm sorry. That's right.
I mean, I have more of a problem. Like, I'm not a big fan of that genre, but I'm not going to get on that. It's like, what is he supposed to, like, sit in a prone position, like in a fetal position in his apartment? You know, drinking beer out of a baby bottle? He had a home run on Saturday. I mean, his team lost, but how do you think these guys get over it? They got their life to go through. I mean,
Now the flip side is you could certainly go to a concert, but then to be prancing around on stage.
Oh, my God. Did they lose the World Series, Mike?
No.
Hey. When David Wells was on the back page of the paper partying after they lost to the Indians, I think it was, right? When
got crushed.
And deservedly
by
so. Your season just ended. Like, I get that. I can get you feeling crushed. Is a Major League Baseball player, Michael, that prepares himself for 162 games or beyond, is going to be that emotionally crushed and spent after a loss in game two, after an 0-2 start, a game he homered in. So that's it. I mean, how are you supposed to survive as a ball player? That means that you're, even if you win 100 games, that 62 times you've got to go home and have a good cry every time you lose.
I'm with Don. I am too. I mean, and by the way, and how Alonso hit the home run. How else did he do over the weekend? Was he okay?
Okay.
He didn't dial up an Aaron Judge over the weekend, did he?
No. Now,
but even if he did, again, what do you want?
But even if he did,
now you get eliminated from the playoffs. That's a different story. I would think that would affect you. I don't feel like going out, but guy wants to have a good time.
Well,
enough, Michael. It's time to talk about my
team. With you guys. What does dial up an Aaron Judge mean?
Yeah, what are you saying, Peter?
It was a rough weekend. It wasn't a good 4-game set. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, really? You're going to concentrate on the guy who didn't do well rather than everybody on the team?
Don't be so sensitive.
Oh my God. First of all, Michael, how dare you? Second of all, you're not even a fan. You're a broadcaster. I'm a Yankee fan. That's my local team, Don. You remember, I decide. And they're 4-0 they're 4-0. I'm just pointing out, on my team, when I look up and down the lineup, I see one superstar batting over .500. I see another one batting under .150. We just got to talk through these things. That's all.
I've got breaking news.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if people realize it, but they're going to hear it here now for the first time.
Okay.
Juan Soto's good.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Who are you? Stephen A. Smith with hot takes like this?
I'm telling you, Juan Soto was good. And now everybody, you're a baseball fan. Of course you know Juan Soto was good. And I have long said that the Yankees make this deal even if they had to trade the players that they traded. Even for 1 year. But when you get to see him pitch by pitch, at bat, he is really a special talent. I mean, that hit yesterday against Josh Hader. Not many people do that, Don. That's one of the best relief pitchers in baseball, left-handed, against Soto, game on the line, and he gets a base hit to left field. What a great weekend for the Yankees all around.
Don't talk to me. Talk to your fans.
Thank you.
The ones that call the Case Show. Oh, he's overrated. I don't care if they don't bring him back because they don't see 600 home runs and 1,000 RBIs. And
Michael, we got a call during game one. We got a call saying Soto's not good. He's overrated. This doesn't make sense. He's just not good. So that happened during game one.
Did you mean?
Did you hang up on the person?
Let's be fair. It was before he had a critical base knock and also won the game defensively. It was before that it happened.
But Peter, he got a hit his first at bat. So what made somebody think that he was not good?
But it wasn't a home run. It was just a
base hit.
Well, the person who called, you are banned from this show forever.
But he's not the only one. There's been a few people that think that he's overrated. Here's the thing, Michael. I think it's, I'm gonna play pop psychologist. I think it's trying to prepare themselves for losing him in free agency.
Not falling in love.
So if I don't fall in love with him, I talk about how overrated he is. If he goes sign somewhere else, I can say, well, see, I told you I didn't want the guy anyway. So I think that's probably why they feel that way. And also, let's face it, Michael, I'm not going to get on Yankee fans because it's Met fans too. Baseball's a regional sport. So they focus on their team, and they probably don't really pay that much attention to what's going on outside of their team. So what this guy did in the National League with the Nationals and the Padres probably didn't resonate with a lot of Yankee fans. Same thing with like Met fans when they bring it over a guy from the American League because they don't spend a lot of time watching those guys. So they look at the stats, and let's face it, they're not Aaron Judge stats. You know, he hasn't hit 60 home runs. He's not driving in 150 RBIs. But what he is what people have described him as is like this generation's Ted Williams. I didn't see Ted Williams play, but I know he was pretty good. And that's a pretty interesting comparison to me.
So the Yankees Evil Empire on Twitter, about 2 hours ago, they actually wrote this to me. You ready?
Yes.
So when the trade happened, you were disappointed that King went to the Padres. How do you feel about the trade now, seeing the first series of both teams? Don, ever say that they shouldn't have traded? I said, the one thing that hurts is Michael King.
That's exactly what you said, is that you do it. You do it every day. 8 days a week, as the Beatles say.
Twice.
But the one guy that you wish you didn't have to give up was King. Boy, what I need to do, I keep talking about I want Marco to be a lefty. No, I want Marco to be an ear doctor. Because I'm telling you, nobody listens anymore. Nobody hears anything. They must have bad ears. We must have a nation of deaf people because nobody hears a word you say.
Oh, I think it's deeper than that. I think people are morons.
I appreciate what Michael said.
So think about that. We're in the first segment of the show. We're like 11 minutes in. He's already thrown idiot and moron out.
I support this. I sometimes need this. On our morning show today, we were talking about how dumb people were today. And sometimes I get frustrated because my dear friend Shawnee, he's a great guy. But he's always sort of explaining what dumb people are thinking. Well, the thing is, and I'm like, sometimes I just don't have time.
Why is he the spokesman for dumb?
Yeah, why is he the spokesman?
No, and I don't know why. Honestly, it's a choice that he's made.
Bad choice.
He feels for the everyman and like wants to explain for them. And I think it's bad business to be in. You know what?
So he's dumbsplaining.
He dumbsplains, and I appreciate it, but like sometimes you got to just let people soak. If you have anything negative to say after this weekend. Now, Michael, listen, we were sitting here on the air. Your very own producer, your crack producer.
Oh, it's really irritating.
The Marconi winning Anthony Pusick was not high on this Yankee team early in the day last week on opening day. He was not last Thursday.
Right. If he was a priest, he would be performing last rites down 4-0 in the sixth.
Wow.
Yeah, he was not in a good way. and listen. What I loved about that first game, Michael, and obviously this is our first time having the pleasure to talk with you since, what I love is you could totally look at that game through a negative lens. You know, leaving runners in scoring position, obviously seeing your starting pitcher on opening day just get knocked around early on. But then, you know, they ended up sticking with him. And lo and behold, things settled down. And even though they didn't do anything special offensively, they found a way to get a gutsy win. And Michael, just as easily as you could look at that that day and be disappointed, I looked at it as, is this like a grittier Yankee team? And now you're sitting here at the end of the weekend and they're 4-0.
And against them, the team that owns you, they actually got breaks. Right, Michael? They actually
more than
caught,
one.
They caught some breaks. They situationally hit. Now, they trailed in every game, and they didn't hit early, but they showed heart. Michael, I think Yankee teams in the past might have gotten swept in those that four-game series. Well, so to beat them, that's a big deal.
This is what this Yankee team is going to be about. As always, they put together a great bullpen again. Their bullpen, I think, 15 and third innings didn't allow an earned run. That's the reason they won. The Astro bullpen was awful, except for Hader. And then Hader ended up giving the big hit in the ninth inning. But for the most part, he pitched three games. Clay Holmes pitched three games out of four. The Yankees are going to grind at bats. So what they're going to do is they're going to take a lot of pitches. Anthony Volpe has already seen 70 pitches this year. He's had two swings and misses in 70 pitches. Now, he set out yesterday because there's a stomach virus going around the team, especially the players that were in Mexico. But they're going to grind out at bats. They're going to get a starter's pitch count up. All the Astros starters pitch well. Then when the Yankees got in the bullpen, the Astros collapsed. They've got a much better lineup. I think that Judge not getting that many at-bats in spring training, well, it's manifested itself over the first four games. So he's kind of getting spring training at-bats now. But Soto's been unbelievable. Unbelievable. Volpe, unbelievable before not playing yesterday. Oswaldo Cabrera, John Birdie, the guy they traded for, which is a really good trade, made a game-saving catch on a diving stop on a hard ground ball down the third baseline, bottom of the ninth inning. They did all the little things. And one other thing I'm going to tell you that I noticed. I don't know if you guys did. Boone's a little different. Remember, Don, you remember, they don't believe in hot.
Right.
They don't believe in hot. Analytic people don't believe in hot. Well, they made this trade for John Birdie. They made that trade because, essentially, in their mind, John Birdie was going to play third base until LeMahieu gets back. Then Oswaldo Cabrera has a big first game. Well, he was going to play in the first game, Birdie, because he got there at 2 in the morning. Second game, they run out Cabrera again. Another big game. After that game, Boone says, I'll probably play him the next day, which is Saturday. Plays Cabrera again. Then Sunday, the original lineup, plays Cabrera again. Still no Birdie. The only reason Birdie got in the lineup is because Anthony Volpe was a late scratch because of the stomach ailment. So all of a sudden, kind of managing with his gut. Another thing the Yankees have never done, use a reliever 3 out of 4 days. They try to stay away from that all the time. They went for it. They didn't throw some B lineup in because they won the first three games of the series yesterday. They ran with the same lineup that they played every single one of the first three games, and they used their closer third game out of four. I like what I'm seeing. I think they're going to let him manage a little bit. It's not always about, we don't believe in hot, we don't believe in this, we don't believe in that. Let's roll the dice. You know what? They rolled the dice and it worked out. I thought they had a really good weekend. Really good weekend.
Hey, let's not forget, Michael, they had an audit. And everybody looked at the audit as a way of how they were going to build their team. Is it possible that this audit showed that in games, maybe things can be done a little bit differently?
I don't even know if the audit's done yet, though.
But well, in the process of doing the audit, could this be something that kind of came up?
Maybe.
Like, I don't know I'm trying to remember what day it was that, because there was, you know, four games. But I remember I was in the car, so I guess it had to have been Thursday, that like John and Susan were like talking about what reliever did they actually go a second inning with that they never used to do?
And then Loaisiga?
Yeah, it must have been Loaisiga, right?
Or Hamilton.
No, it was Hamilton. And just where they were kind of discussing how that's something Boone wouldn't have done last year. Like, it seems to be a thing. Now, it's only four games. We'll see how it plays out. But I noticed that. I certainly noticed the lineup yesterday. I mean, how could you not? You've already won the series, right? That was the objective. And it's a day game after the last game of the series, and you don't have a day off, and yet he went out there and had the A-plus lineup out there.
And now they start a three-game set against the Diamondbacks tonight. It's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Rangers host the Penguins at MSG tonight, with coverage immediately following us on 98.7. Yankees are on Arizona, taking on the Diamondbacks at 9:40. That'll be on YES. The Mets welcome in the Tigers at 7:10. The Islanders visit Philly, take on the Flyers,
huge
with
game.
Coverage starting at 6:30. That's on 10:50. And the Nets take on the Pacers in Indy at 7. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew. Try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Very quick explanation for everybody, guys.
Please, we were waiting.
So, did I miss every show last week?
That's right.
Every single one.
Every one.
Don't worry, we held it down.
You did, and I listened to a lot of it. You guys were great.
You. Thank you.
But I do want to explain to our listeners, because we're all a family. So when I went down to Tampa to do those two games, I did the game on Friday, did the show on Thursday, if you remember, then did the game and the show, feeling fine. And I went to bed Friday night, and like at 3 in the morning, I felt like my throat start to hurt, like I had a sore throat. And my nose got stuffed all of a sudden. I said, wow, out of nowhere, because I was feeling really good. Got up the next day, did the game, no problem whatsoever. Got back to the room, and then, yes, had its clients there, the advertisers, so I was going to go to that dinner that night. So I go back to the room, I kind of lay down in bed for an hour and a half, and I wake up, I couldn't speak. Out of the blue, could not speak. Couldn't speak. And don't know what happened. So I went to the event, didn't say a word. Woke up on Sunday, still couldn't speak. Then I went to the famous Dr. Max April on
Monday.
He
just texted me that second. The second you said his name, he texted me.
Really?
Just now, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
So he did the scope, look at the vocal cords. He said everything looks good. It's not the same issue that you had when you had to have surgery. He said, but just to make sure, maybe I'm going to send all of this stuff to the surgeon, Dr. Zeitels. So he sent all the stuff, and Zeitels gets on the phone and goes, I have to examine him myself. So I had to drive to Boston the next day, Mass General, and he checked me out, and he said everything, there was no damage to the vocal cords. They were just swollen, which is what happens with a respiratory illness or some kind of virus. He said, so you have to wait for the vocal cords to slow down. But he didn't see anything chronic, which was what I was worried about. And so he just said, you got to rest. He said, you got to stop doing what you're doing. So I didn't do the Met Yankee game on Monday, and I didn't do the shows the rest of the week. And I was hoping that I'd be okay for Thursday. They also gave me steroids. And they said, if you're still not right on Thursday, take the steroids 3 hours before the game, and that will lessen the swelling. Well, you know how my mind works, Don. I wanted to save this. I wanted them in my holster.
Yeah.
So I said, I think I can do it. So I did it. And then I had Friday and Saturday off because of Apple TV and Fox, and came back and I did the game yesterday. And I'm still not 100%, but good enough to talk. And this is the first real test where I have to do a radio show on the game. So that's where I stand. That's what happened. And I still have the steroids in my pocket. I have not taken them. And that's where we are. So I thank Don and Peter for holding down the fort, and for all of our listeners for understanding as well.
Happy you're back, and hopeful that there's no setbacks this week and you keep on rolling.
That would be fun. That would be fun. Time now for the tournament update, Peter. Brought to you by Schweppes. The Final Four is set. Peter's thrilled because NC State knocked off Duke.
Yeah, I hate to see it.
So their magical run continues against Purdue Saturday at 6:09. Followed by UConn against Alabama. I don't know how anybody's beating UConn. And then we've got two unbelievable women's games tonight on ESPN. I mean, classic games. A rematch of the title game last year. So you have LSU against Iowa.
Crazy.
Angel Reese against Caitlin Clark.
You kidding me?
And then you have USC against UConn.
It's very good.
It is really good. And we're going to have a great guest, Andrea Carter, at 3:45 to talk about it, because they're expecting record numbers TV-wise, ratings-wise, tonight on ESPN. So it all starts at 7 o'clock. That's the tournament update presented by Schweppes. Schweppes offers above-the-rim refreshment and is proud to sponsor the Big East Conference. Enjoy the madness and take a break from the hoops action with a Schweppes seltzer or Schweppes ginger ale. There you have it. Are we ready for a great show, guys?
Yes.
And Jeff Passan's coming on at 4 o'clock, and he is red hot.
I don't blame him.
Did anyone post the text? I sent the text to Anthony. Did we post it?
I didn't see it posted.
That's not for me to post.
No, I said. I gave you permission.
I didn't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean?
Stand your ground.
I have permission from me and Jeff. He literally gave a thumbs up. I said, I'm posting this. He said, thumbs up. Don't you feel worried about it? Yes, he happened to use the S word in the text. But guess what? He's red hot. Now, I don't know what he... Don, he has nothing to be mad about.
No, it just... It's we had a theory on which way it could go with our listeners. And they chose one over the other.
Now, they chose
sex over weed.
Right. So, Peter's wife, Natalie, her drop wins over...
Oh, my God.
Beats Jeff Passan's.
Smoke weed every day.
And Jeff very upset.
Very upset. And by the way, accusing us of something nefarious, when in fact, and I'll tell this to him when we talk to him, Natalie didn't even tweet out, nor did I. No one tweeted out, this is close, go vote. It's how it went.
I think if we all were given truth serum, we wanted Jeff to win.
No, not me. I'm rooting for me.
Well, I wanted Jeff to win because
I smoke weed every day.
Well, I know, because it's out of context. It's great theater, but for Jeff, we just parachuted in on something your wife said, and the pervs that listen to the show, they take care of themselves to it.
And I
don't need that.
Get control of it.
I don't need that to be something that drives a vote.
Well, remember Gigi?
Yeah, you remember how popular Gigi was. Michael,
hi, Robin.
She should have been popular because of how talented she was, and instead it was hi, Robin. And you know how these pervs go.
Wow, that's strong words. You've come out firing today.
Well, so, the second I have a mistruth, please correct me.
Let's all towel off, and Peter will get us back on track and tell us about FanDuel.
You know what, Michael? I'm glad you brought it up, and I will get you on track because the sports calendar's loaded, and FanDuel's making it even more exciting to get in on the action. Because right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $200 you can use to bet the tournament, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and so much more. Visit FanDuel.com/Peter and make your first bet a big one and a big win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I told the story on the Yankee game. I have not told it on the radio. Different audience. So on the Saturday that I'm going to do the game in Tampa, as I said, I felt my throat get scratchy overnight. So I stopped at a 7-Eleven, which is right near the Yankee complex.
All right.
And it must have been about 8:50 in the morning. And I walk around looking for cough drops, and I don't see them. So I went to the young lady behind the counter and I said, "Where do you keep your cough drops?" She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Where are the cough drops?" She said, I don't understand." And she wasn't, like, English was her language. I said, "What do you mean you don't understand?" She said, I don't know what you're saying. I don't, what is a cough drop? I've never heard that phrase."
"What?"
And I go, "You never heard the phrase cough drop?"
"No, this isn't real, what you're saying."
And I said, "Lozenger? Lozenge?" And she said,
"That's even worse."
She said, "No."
"What?"
I said, "Something that you take when you have a sore throat?" She goes, "I really don't know what you're talking about." I walked out.
"You walked out?"
"Yeah."
"You didn't even just go look? I mean, Don, I don't know what's, it was 7-Eleven.
I looked around the store and they didn't have cough drops, so I thought they were behind the counter or something. So once she said she didn't know what a cough drop was, I was out. I'm good.
And so most likely they didn't have it, Peter.
Well, 7-Eleven, what they have is, at the counter, there should have at least been the small packs of Halls.
Right.
That they should have had Halls in a little strip.
But she had never heard, Peter, of a cough drop.
It's very unfortunate what's happening in this nation.
Also, Don, I don't know if you know this, but I was told today, actually moments ago, that during the first segment, Peter with a little My Little Pony brush is brushing his beard on the air.
On the air?
Yeah.
So he has a complete disregard for yes.
What do you
Wake
mean?
Up, Flip.
You know, it's a thing to brush your beard. People brush their beards.
Well, not on the air. Brush their teeth, but that doesn't mean it happens on the air.
You may be right that it's not the right thing to do. I'm going to push back against it being at teeth level, though. I'm going to push back. You got to give me a little room for beard over teeth.
All right,
teeth.
Like, well, if I was brushing my hair on the air, you wouldn't think that was weird.
Well, I mean,
because that's the same thing.
Well, hold on, didn't the Fonz always brush his hair?
You're not the Fonz.
What? I'm just saying, yeah. Is he loved or not?
But that was part of the act. You're in real life. This is not a simulation. You're in real life.
Okay. But when the Fonz did radio, he did not comb his hair.
Let's go to Billy in Hartford.
All right.
What a place. Billy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. She doesn't know anything about cop drops? That's weird.
Yeah. True story.
I'm glad you're back, Mike.
Me too.
I want to talk about Soto. If he goes... If he wins the World Series, do you think the Yankees are going to spend a lot of money on him?
I don't think it's a bottomless pit, Billy. I don't think there's any guarantee. I love some of the things I'm seeing today on social media. People that I respect, too. Oh, you got to give him whatever he wants. Really? You got to give him whatever he wants. So if he wants $120 million a year, you going to give him that? And that's why anybody after four games that's saying, well, obviously he loves the Yankees, so he's gonna go where they pay the most money. Now, he might have a good feeling about the Yankees if he's enjoying himself here, but he has Scott Boras as his agent. He's not playing. Pay him the money. Give him his bag now. First of all, Scott Boras doesn't negotiate during the season, so stop yourself. Second of all, give him whatever he wants. Really? Whatever he wants. I want $200 million a year. Yes, give it to him.
Well, remember, that's what they said about DJ LeMahieu. Not comparing the two players, but how did that work out?
But, Don, can't you just enjoy what's going on now?
No.
Give him whatever he wants.
No, the answer is no. Again, I'm not talking about all Yankee fans, because I'm sure the majority of them are good fans. But the ones that call the show, that interact with this show, no, they can't have nice things. They can't enjoy things. It's always what's wrong with the team and thinking about the future. And how it applies to October and during the offseason. Sit back, enjoy it. I can guarantee you one thing. You have them for the rest of this year. So enjoy it and see whatever happens, happens. And if you want to worry about what's going to happen in the offseason, why don't we wait till then? All right?
Let's go to Dan in New Jersey. Dan.
Hey, Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you guys?
Good.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. The Rangers might be on the track to winning a Stanley Cup. I really think this could be a year. And then the Yankees looked great the other day, too, all throughout the weekend. Now, I'm interested to know, how much this is going, this weekend will affect the expectations for this team. Because I know there's going to be a lot of Yankee fans that can be, oh, World Series, Juan Soto needs to stay here to play. Now, if Juan Soto leaves, they have Dominguez and they have Jones. Now, obviously, I'd love Juan Soto to stay because you could then potentially move Judge to first base, but that's a whole other story for a whole other in the offseason. But right now, I don't think any team from 2017 on really could have beaten the Astros in those four games like they did. I have one question. How did Girardi feel about being back there and watching his Yankees win against the Astros?
Well, he seemed fine to me, and that was the last place he ever managed the Yankees in 2017, the final game, Game 7. So that was a little weird. But please, I mean, again, we're such a prisoner of the now, right? The past Yankee teams couldn't have done this. Hey, well, here's a little secret. The Yankees were terrible last year. According to Brian Cashman, they were a disaster, right? Yeah. They were 82-80. Do you know that they beat the Astros three straight in a series toward the end of the year?
And
that team...
And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was like in similar fashion, right? Weren't they like all come from behind?
Yes.
I think they were at home.
So everybody has to
That's
take a deep
difference.
Breath.
I think they were at home. But, you know, also the Astros, I think, have lost, counting last year, like a ton, like 11 of 12 at home or something ridiculous.
I think it's 9 in a row at home.
It's early. But I do think there is something to beating them in their house. You know, Major League Baseball had it smart. These are two of the best teams in the American League. Let's get them together. A lot of attention. Two of those games were on national television. And I think it's something. All right. 4-0, that's no big deal. Teams have started better and didn't even make the playoffs. But I do think there's something to beating that team there four straight.
And I think the way they did it. I mean, if the bullpen is going to be stout, that's important. If they're going to grind out at bats, that's important. If Anthony Volpe has struck out too many times last year, swings and misses twice at 70 pitches, that's important. Juan Soto doesn't seem like he's stressed at all about being a Yankee. That's important. Those are important things that you look at, not more so than even the results. I thought Stroman was tremendous on Saturday. Tremendous. And I thought Rodon, he threw a lot of pitches, but I thought he did a good job on Friday. Those are the things you look for. You don't change your whole... I mean, if they were 2-2 this weekend, you wouldn't feel the same way? Look at the way they won. They came back. They battled. Their bullpen was great. That's what you look at. Give him whatever he wants. Give him whatever he wants. Whatever he wants. Whatever he wants, guys.
That's it.
Andrea Carter is going to break down the great doubleheader tonight on ESPN.
She's very good.
Well, we'll see.
No, I know.
You've been talking her up all day.
Yeah.
I think she's been... The second I first saw her on TV, I was like, she's very good. Who is this? Wow, she is... I knew she was
good.
She's
very good.
But she's very good.
Very good. You're very good, too. Tell us some things.
You know what, Michael? I'm glad you brought it up, and I'm happy to tell you things. And in fact, I'll tell you things right now about FanDuel. Dingers, blasts, moonshots, whatever you want to call them. Everyone loves home runs. And with FanDuel's Dinger Tuesdays, you can love them even more. That's right. Dinger Tuesdays are back for another season on America's number one sportsbook. Just bet on a player to homer, and FanDuel will give you $5 in bonus bets every time they hit a home run during that game. As if you need another reason to love long ball. Visit FanDuel.com/Peter to get in on all the Dinger Tuesday action. That's FanDuel.com/Peter. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of Major League Baseball. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. 21 over and physically present in New York. Bonus issued is not withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus, $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. All right, now guys, a message from BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Is it drained? Are you bursting with energy? How am I feeling right now? Feeling a little anxious. Got a lot going on this week. I'm going to be seeing a lot of people for WrestleMania in Philadelphia. So, you know, your social battery needs to be very, very charged. And sometimes the best way to do that is with therapy. I know it's been really helpful for me in those situations. Matter of fact, I had therapy today. And one of the things I talked about was being prepared for the week. So if you've been thinking about therapy, trying to work on your coping skills, boundary setting, things like that, empowering yourself, maybe you consider giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible and it's suited to your schedule. All right, you fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with licensed therapists. You can switch at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
It might be one of the biggest nights in the history of women's college basketball. They're going to get numbers that have never been achieved before because these two games are just off the charts. Interesting, amazing, great rivalries. Great players, stars, the whole deal. And, you know, it starts off with a rematch of the national championship game from last year. Iowa against LSU, Angel Reese against Caitlin Clark. And we want to bring in our very own Andrea Carter, who will be part of our coverage starting at 7 on ESPN. Andrea, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
Hello. I'm doing great. Are you kidding me? You just mentioned this being one of the biggest days, probably the biggest Elite Eight day we've ever seen. I get to be a very small part of it, and the players are ready. I just feel it. I'm excited. I can keep going, but I'll let you all go.
All right, so let me ask you this. Last year, LSU beat Iowa. What has changed that Iowa might be able to win this game?
Well, a lot has changed. You know, there were three players that combined for over 50 points in that game for LSU that are no longer a part of the team. Alexis Morris graduated. Jasmine Carson isn't there. And LaDeja Williams graduated. They all put up 20 points. Angel Reese got in foul trouble and her teammates stepped up for her. But this is a completely new LSU team that at times has had to figure out how to put the pieces together in terms of their transfers. Angel Reese and Anissa Morrow now know how to play with each other, but it took some time to figure it out. And then at times, the team still feels like they're figuring out how Haley Van List can thrive. I actually think this is a game where Haley Van List could have a ton of success, but it's a completely different LSU team. Well, also, it's a pretty different Iowa team. I mean, Monica Sonato was a big-time piece as far as being Caitlin Clark's dynamic duo partner on the inside. She played really well last year, but these are different teams. The two superstars are the same, and that's why everyone is so excited. And it's actually been fun to watch some of the other players, Flaje Johnson for LSU, Hannah Stolke for Iowa. It's been fun to watch them grow and blossom this season. The eyes are on both teams, but you can't say it's exactly the same as last season because it's not close.
Andrea, you've obviously been at the highest levels of this game and know what these players are going through. Something does feel different, obviously, this year. You know, the Angel Caitlin story started a year ago, and I don't think for those of us who are at, you know, casuals, if you will, I don't think we had any idea what we were getting involved in. Did you know a year ago or maybe more than that, that we were really going to be entering this very special period for the women's college game?
It felt like that. I didn't know for sure, but with how big last season was, I just remember us all having conversations, you know, within the ESPN space, within the women's basketball space, even just the basketball space in general. Like, how do we build off of this? How do we build off of this momentum? How do we make it bigger? How do we make it better? How do we support the athletes and follow their stories more closely to get back to this point in even bigger fashion? And not giving, you know, us all of the credit, because it's really been the players also. Like, their ability to handle what seems like this season more distractions than ever, from NIL to cameras on them to a documentary series following them to the new teammates and the pressure of having success and TV commercials and music videos. Like, the players being able to handle all this, that's what's been the most impressive to me. Because what would be the worst thing? They get all this buzz, they get all this attention, and then the basketball slips. Because at the end of the day, the stories are fun, but the basketball still has to back it up. Like, storylines might bring viewers in, but the basketball is going to make them stay. And so the best part, that I wasn't sure how it was going to go, is what is the basketball going to look like with everything else going on? And the basketball's been great. So I didn't see it coming. I knew there was a possibility, but there's a lot that goes into growing off of such a big moment. And I do think, because of the players and the visibility that we've had this season, we've been able to do that.
So how does it work for the athlete? Do you take all that into the game, the history of it, the eyeballs on it, the meaning of it all, and use that on the court, or do you just try to strip it all away and just have it be about basketball when they tip off?
I think I never made it to a Final Four. Shout out to everybody that's made it. It's not easy to do, but I do know for a player, and I've heard even talking to athletes at every level this season, because I've covered every level this season, from men's college to NBA to WNBA, and you might bring a lot on the court right before tip, right, or right before warm-ups, but when warm-ups start, you're right back in your routine, or right before tip-off, you're feeling it. And then as soon as you get that hit, you get hit for the first time, or you make a layup for the first time, or you get right into basketball action, you check a cutter, you dive on the floor, you do things that kind of push you right in the game. And, you know, I've heard some players say, like, they just try to hit somebody one time, like, not an egregious hit, not an out-of-line hit, but just to feel the physicality of the game, and then they're in it. And now everything else goes away. Now it's me versus you, our game plan versus your game plan. I'm tired. I'm pushing through. I'm hurting. I missed that shot. I made that shot. You can become so deep. You can take a deep dive into the game once the game starts. And hopefully for these athletes, that's what it feels like. But I also have to think that when things start to go left or things start to go poorly, I think that's where it gets dangerous, because that's when it's easier for the thoughts of how big this is and who's watching and how many eyes are on this team. That's when those things creep in. So they have to be stronger than ever now when things start to go wrong to pull it back together. I think that's probably the hardest part from what some of the athletes have told me.
Now, I don't know if there's anything more that Caitlin Clark has to do. She's done it all. She's an inspiration for people. But our very own Jay Williams said, in order for her to be considered great, she has to win a championship. Does she need this win today to get to the Final Four again to continue to burnish her legacy, or is her legacy set?
Caitlin's legacy as the greatest scorer and probably the most impactful college basketball player that we've seen is set. Like, that legacy is golden. There's not anything that can be done, in my opinion, to change those things. She's already great. So that's Jay Will. We're just not going to talk about that, because a championship wouldn't make her great. She is already great, in my opinion, because her team is good enough to do it. Also, because we've seen South Carolina play other teams close. It's not like South Carolina has just blown teams out of the water. Teams have played them close. So it is within reason that Caitlin Clark could lead this team to a national championship. They could have done it last year. They had a good shot last year. They have a good shot this year. I believe that a championship would make her resume goated. Like, so think about this. I know players have won multiple championships. I know the players have won 4. I know players have won 3. I know players have won 2. But those players had WNBA lottery picks on their team. Multiple of them. At least one. A lot of them had multiple. And so, for me, winning multiple championships is a sign of an amazing program. But if you can lead one as a player, and I'm not saying Caitlin's teammates are bad, they're good enough to win it. So because it's within reach, because it's doable, because they're good enough, if Caitlin can lead the way, he's got to get one to be in the GOAT conversation. Her legacy is set as what it is, but it can go up a notch. It's not going to go down. Nothing's going to hurt it. Nothing's going to make it go down. But it could go up a notch if she leads this team to a championship.
And that's what's so funny, because, you know, in sports, we can see a player like her be great and still lose the game. And maybe she's off and they still win the game. So it's so interesting how we attach everything to the star player. So I'll ask you, if she's great tonight, is there still an avenue for LSU to still win the game?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there have been games, you know, we take it as I believe it was the West Virginia game where, you know, Caitlin, the team was 5 of 22 from beyond the arc. Caitlin was 5 of 14 from beyond the arc, right? So her teammates took 8 threes. None of them made one, right? Now you go up against, you know, the team Colorado that they just played, and Gabby Marshall's knocking them down. Kate Martin's knocking them down. Sydney Falter's perfect from the field. Hannah Stolke's running the floor. Like, when they're playing great, they can do it. But there is a lane, and we have had examples of Caitlin playing great, and it's still not being enough. And so I think that is possible. It is not, and I think the thing to really pay attention to with Caitlin is not her scoring, but if she can get a double-double with points and assists, LSU's in dangerous territory. Because what does that mean? It means Caitlin's finding her teammates, and her teammates are knocking down shots. A good number just to think about, Iowa is 24-0 when Caitlin takes less than 25 field goal attempts. Meaning things actually go a little bit better when Caitlin doesn't have to do all of the heavy lifting scoring. So we could very well see Caitlin have to do the heavy lifting scoring and it still not be enough, because maybe LSU has two players that combine for what Caitlin makes point-wise, and then a couple other players step up. You see what I'm saying? So it's definitely not outside of question for Caitlin to play great and Iowa still fall short.
Now, one thing before we wrap, Andrea, so When did you start doing national women's college basketball for ESPN, for big ESPN?
Yeah, my first game, I called it game. I think it was on ESPNU during the tournament. Back in 2018, I called my first like tournament game, and before that, I did some stuff on SEC Network Plus and the SEC Network, but I called like 3 games that year, and then the next year I did maybe like 10 on TV. Next year I did maybe 14 TV games, and then ended up going full time. So it's been a bit of a journey, but I've been here.
Well, I'll tell you, in looking at your story, because for a lot of us, obviously, like I said, with the impact of women's college basketball right now, your visibility is obviously higher than ever. And your story is awesome too, man. I just wanted to give you your flowers because, you know, seeing how your career ended at Tennessee, and obviously you weren't able to go on to continue to play. Seeing your story and you grind it out, congratulations to you too, to getting to be sort of in the such a great position as the game is exploding. I love seeing stories like this from broadcasters, so kudos to you as well.
Oh, thank you. That was unexpected, but I really appreciate it. It's been the biggest gift I could ever have. Like, a dream that didn't come true has turned into literally a dream come true. So I'm super thankful. I appreciate it.
Now, before we let you go, we can't forget the other game. This is one of the rare times that UConn kind of like is an underdog in a case, because they had so many injuries and there was problems with Geno's health this year. What kind of chance did they have in the second game?
UConn definitely has a chance. I mean, the way that Paige Beckers and Aaliyah Edwards play off of each other, their pick and roll game. I have to give credit, speaking of giving credit where it's due, Ashlyn Shade has been lights out this tournament, knocking down threes. The Duke game was rough, but the Duke game, that was a rock fight for both sides. You know, that game was a struggle, but that game aside, the freshmen have been playing really well. Nico Mule's got to control pace and control the ball and take care of the ball. But if you think about it, the two storylines are Juju and her team and how her teammates play alongside her. Same thing on the other side. Paige and her team and how they play along her. I think UConn has less margin for error in terms of foul trouble, in terms of taking bad shots, those type of things. I think USC has a little more wiggle room in terms of not being sharp at all times. But to me, this is an even game that's going to be really fun to watch. Like, neither team, I don't know what the spread is. I don't know. Honestly, don't even know who was picked to win it. But for me, it should be a fun, even game.
good stuff. Thank you so much. Have a great time tonight. There'll be a lot of people watching.
Thank y'all so much. Enjoy the game.
All right. It all starts at 7 on ESPN. I think they're going to get 10 to 15 million viewers. I don't even know why ESPN, not that, you know, Bob Iger or Jimmy Pitaro needs me to program things. They should put this on ABC. I mean, what's on ABC that's going to be bigger than this?
Is it The Bachelor?
This would be bigger than The Bachelor.
That's the thing. It's you know, so it was on Saturday, Michael. It was on ABC.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, it's on. I looked on ESPN, and I'm like, oh, no, it's on ABC. And I agree with you. Like, if I would almost move stuff for this. I just feel like this is the matchup. And this is the game, Michael, that could outrate the final, depending on who ends up there. If Iowa loses tonight, this is going to be the biggest game of the tournament. So, yeah, you kind of want to move everything you can to make way for this.
Well, they're probably not going to move it, so tune to ESPN tonight. Starts at 7. Should be great. Hey, if you're like me, you love to spend time at home. My home needed a refresh, so I chose the painting professionals at CertaPro Painters. First, let me tell you that the estimate took no time at all. Nothing. The team scheduled an initial call consultation to get the details of my project, confirmed their appointment, showed up on time, and provided a detailed estimate of the work. I could not have been happier. Truly, the CertaPro promise is that you never have to tell your story twice. So from the consultation to the job, the communication with the team was exceptional. Free estimates, reliable communication, professional painting, all at the right price. When you are ready to paint and take projects off of your to-do list, contact CertaPro Painters. Why wait? From now through April 30th, CertaPro Painters is running its spring sales event. Special offers are available at participating locations. Each CertaPro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They are a local business that you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at CertaPro.com. That's Certa with a C. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is indeed simple. Choose happy. Choose CertaPro Painters.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.